That's right. We are so glad that you're here. Heck, I'm glad that I'm here. That's right. My name is Joey Kroll, and happy Thursday. It is, of course, Thursday, April the 24th, 2012, and I don't know about you, but I am still stuffed from our Tuesday night dinner at the Olive Garden. Fantastic dinner. I had so much fun sitting along with so many people, hanging out, the fellowship and food, and just so much fun at the Olive Garden this past Tuesday, the other day. For the Great News Radio meet and greet. It was the last one. We did it for the entire month of April, every Tuesday, and it was so much fun, and I'm so grateful that I can be part of this ministry, but also part of just the whole fellowship the other night. So good. I probably gained a good couple of pounds because I don't have a filter sometimes. When the food is good, I just keep on going. No, it's good, though. So, yeah, praise God. Some good fellowship the other night. So if you were there, it was so nice meeting you, and I hope you had a good time as well. Wow, so many things happening. If you can, maybe just keep me in prayer. There has been a young lady that I work with in my other job as a therapist that I work with who doesn't know Christ, and God has been really putting her in my heart. For quite some time now, to be honest with you. And I had a conversation with her. I mean, I was in church on Sunday, okay? I was in church on Sunday, and God, I don't know, told the pastor, and he said, here is what Joey needs to hear, so say this. You ever have one of those Sundays? It's like, oh, man, has the pastor been reading my mail again? So God convicted me, and I knew for quite some time I had to speak to this young lady about Christ and so forth. So Sunday, I'm all convicted. I'm like, oh, man, okay, I'll do it. So on Monday, I get to work. I prayed, okay, God, I want you to provide opportunities. I want to be spirit-led. I don't want to be fleshly-led. And, of course, the Lord opened up an opportunity. We kind of had a nice little conversation. We're actually going to continue our conversation here in the next week or so. So, if you can, just keep her in prayer. I mean, she doesn't know Christ. Well, we're going to pray that she does know Christ, but know him on an intimate, personal level. So if you can, be prayed for her, and be prayed for me as well, because she and I kind of had personality conflicts in the past. So, I mean, that's the whole thing that kind of, just kind of like, God, do you really want me to do this? And, you know, one of those uncomfortable moments. But, yeah, so if you can, just keep her in prayer mainly, and just my interactions, that I will continue to be a witness. Because sometimes the best way to witness, not all the times, but best ways, is by your actions and how you choose to respond and not to respond to things and so forth. So, you know, just pray that I will continue to represent Christ in my words and my actions and so forth. So if you can, yeah, be praying for that. I would really, really appreciate it. I will continue to keep you up to date on how all that works out. So if there's anything you need from us here at Great News Radio, we would love to be praying for you, of course. You can give us a call at 217-367-7777. We would love to be praying for you. Or you can just contact us through our website. You can email me, you can email Mark or the station, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. We would love to be praying for you. Hey, if you're looking for something to do maybe this weekend, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the Great News Radio event calendar, but coming up tomorrow, the Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign, tomorrow at 1 p.m., we'll have a special speaker, Pam Rosewell Moore. She's going to be speaking. She actually worked alongside with Corey Ten Boom in her latter years. So this is going to be a fantastic opportunity just to hear a little bit more about Corey Ten Boom, hear a little bit about more of Pam's testimony as well. At the Meadowbrook Community Church, 1902 Duncan Road in Champaign. You can get more details by visiting our event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org. Well, our devotion today comes from Exodus chapter 34. We'll take a look at that. It's going to be a good one right after Fernando Ortega and Give Me Jesus on Great News Radio.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
What a beautiful song. That is Fernando Ortega and Give Me Jesus. You're listening to Great News Radio. My name is Joey Kroll, and when a person has a consistent loss of appetite, any doctor, psychologist, or any individual in the healthcare field will tell you that there's something wrong. When they have a consistent loss of appetite, there's something wrong. There's something deeper, because it's natural to be hungry. So when there's prolonged loss of appetite and no desire to eat, something's wrong. Either it's an illness or junk food has taken the place. I love junk food, amen? See, it is natural for a Christian, for you and me, to want to get to know God. But when a Christian loses their hunger for God, it's an indication that something else is wrong. Something is out of whack because you're not hungry. There's a sickness. Could be sin. Sin has possibly taken away from that hunger. Or another, so much energy has been spent on eating junk food that the desire for something that's natural and valuable has been lost. So I'll tell you what, the thing about junk food, that it tastes good. It tastes good. It's accessible. It's easily accessible. It's quick to get at. But what it doesn't do is meet the need. A Christian donut here or a religious Big Mac there, that's spiritual junk food. We should be entering in a relationship, that intimacy with God. We should want that. So how do you know that you're getting to know God? How do you know that you're getting to know God? Well, you're changing. You are changing. That is how we know that we're getting to know God in this intimate level, because the Bible says Adam knew Eve and Eve conceived. They knew each other. They had that intimacy and there was evidence of it. Well, the same thing with us. When we know God, we are changing. If I am not changing, I am not getting to know God in the way that I should be. Like, how do you know your kids or your grandkids are growing? They're changing. If they're not changing, they're sick. They need to see a doctor. Now, if that's the proof that we're getting to know God, that we're changing, if that's the proof that we're getting to know God, then we must conclude that most people who claim to be Christians don't know God because they're not changing. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, we read that Moses was spending time with God. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these things, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant of law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant. It was glowing because he had spoken with the Lord." Moses' face began to shine. His face was shining. When he was coming down that mountain, his face was shining. What led to that glow, to that shine? What led to that? Well, Moses was on the mountain, spending time with God, basking in his presence. Verse 28 says, "Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking." So Moses spent expanded, uninterrupted time with God. And God rubbed off on him. God rubbed off on him. And his face began to glow. He spent expanded, uninterrupted time with God. See, Moses, he wanted a habitation instead of a visitation with God. Moses was spending expanded, uninterrupted time with God. God was speaking to him. He was receiving God's word, the Ten Commandments, and his face glowed like somebody in like a nuclear reactor. And the funny thing is, when Moses came down, other folks saw it before Moses knew. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. They noticed it before he did. They were afraid because they're like, "Whoa, what happened to you?" See, God is interested in transforming us by his presence. By his presence, spending that one-on-one time with him. Only he can transform us. See, a sermon cannot change you. It can motivate you, it can inform you, it can encourage you, but a sermon cannot change you. Some people come on Sunday morning looking for something Sunday morning can't do. But once you walk out that door of that church, all hell is waiting for you. Only God can transform us when we're in his presence. See, Moses gave God the freedom to rub off on him. Moses gave God the freedom to transform him and rub off on him. And Moses had that evidence that he spent time with God. Friend, do you have that evidence that you spent time with God? Do you have a certain glow about you that people can be like, "Whoa"? Maybe you're like, "You know, I want to know him deeper, more, in a larger, new, expanded way. How do I get what Moses had? How do I get that? How do I get that glow that Moses had?" I'm so glad that you asked that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it talks about the same thing that we just read in Exodus chapter 34. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart." Watch this now in verse 7. "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone," that's the Ten Commandments, "came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious?" Okay, stay with me here. It said the ministry of death. Have you ever noticed that the Ten Commandments were wrote negatively? "Thy shall not, thou shall not, thou shall not, thou shall not." That, and if you broke one of those commandments, well, guess what happens? The judgment is there's death. So as Moses came down the mountain, the glory faded. We read about that in Exodus chapter 34. The glory faded. His face was fading. He was with God in this expanded, uninterrupted time with him, and his face was glowing. But when he came down from that mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because the glory, the glow, was diminishing. He was glowing, but the further he left God and the closer he got to people, the glory faded. The glory began to fade. Like Sunday morning, the pastor is preaching with fire, the choir is singing, we're all excited, on fire for God, the church choir is singing it up, on fire for him, and between here and the car, the glory fades. Verse 8, it says, "Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious?" See, back in Moses' day, It was the ministry of death. See, this was the Ten Commandments. If you broke this, this is the judgment that you'll have. It was the ministry of death, but it still had glory. His face was still showing and so forth. But we're no longer under the ministry of death. That's the old covenant. What we have in the New Testament is more and better than what Moses had in the Old Testament. And Moses' face glowed. So if Moses' face glowed when there was a ministry of death, how much more should our faces glow when there's a ministry of life? Amen? So the question is, how do I know that God is rubbing off on me? How do I know that I know that I know that I know him in a way to where he is rubbing off on me like he rubbed off on Moses and Moses' face was shining and so forth? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Amen. Verse 18. "But we all," so in other words, what I'm about to say does not exclude you, "with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit." You notice it says, "but we all." But we all. So in other words, what I'm about to say does not exclude you. See, in Moses' day, you don't read about anyone else's face shining but Moses. You don't read about anyone else having to put a veil over their face but Moses. Back then, it wasn't "but we all," it was "but Moses." Everyone saw what God was doing through Moses. But in the new covenant, because we're not like Moses. In the new covenant, "but we all." In other words, you can get what Moses had. It's not limited to Moses. It's not limited to superhuman beings. It's not limited to that super Christian. It's not limited to a certain clientele. It's not limited to a certain status symbol. It's not limited to an economic order. It says, "but we all." You can get to know God as good or better as the most spiritual person that you know. "But we all. With unveiled face." See, we read earlier in Exodus that Moses spent time with God face to face as he was speaking to a man. He didn't wear a veil. He didn't have any camouflage or covering. See, there are thousands of people who come to church. They give the impression, "I'm okay. Everything's all right. Amen, brother. Amen." But in the real world, they know that they're hurting. See, our suits can camouflage us. Dresses can camouflage. Smiles can camouflage. See, that may help you relate to people. That will not help you relate to God. You must come to him with an unveiled face. You can't come praying like everything's okay. You can't come to him with pretty little words when you and him both know that that's not really that's on your heart. You need to come with him raw, with that unveiled face, like Moses was standing and spending time with God one-on-one, face-to-face. He didn't have to wear that veil. He came to him with an unveiled face, came to him raw, being honest with God about that sin that you're dealing with, telling him what it is, because he knows already. Come to God with that unveiled face. Take that camouflage off and be honest and open. It says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." It says, "behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." He says, you can come to me with total exposure. And when you come to me, you come to a mirror. See, the purpose of a mirror is to expose. So when you come to a mirror with a veil on, you keep the mirror from telling you the truth, right? But when you're wearing a veil over your face, the mirror can't get to you. It says, "beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." The whole point of that is seeing who I am in light of who he is, just like the Word of God. Seeing what I want in light of what he wants, seeing the direction I'm headed in the light of where he's headed. And when I lift the veil and go raw, letting him show me as he sees me. See, when you go total exposure to God, he's able to tell you who you are based on what he sees, not what you want him to see. And you received what he says based on the mirror of his word that shines on you. And once you receive that, you are being transformed into the same image. You are being made like him. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. I love this, from glory to glory. See, back in Moses' day, he had glory to less glory. Because remember, he spent time with God, he got that glory, and when he went down to people, the glory was fading, so it was glory to less glory. But you know what? The Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, so we don't lose that glory. So we go from glory to glory, as from the Lord, the Spirit. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. See, friend, you have something going on in your life where you're trying to transform yourself. You're trying to change yourself from the outside. You can't do that effectively. You can only be transformed by spending one-on-one time with the Lord, digging into his word, coming clean with that unveiled face, spending time in his word, in his presence, spending time with him, seeing who you are in light of who he is, and giving him the opportunity to rub off on you. Praise God that we don't have to go to a mountain. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. All we have to do is open the word of God, apply it to our lives, spend time in the presence of God, and be willing for him to change us from the inside out. Well, friend, thank you so much for letting me be part of your Thursday. You can find out more about Great News Radio by visiting our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And don't forget, Mark Burns in with Mark and Friends tomorrow morning right here on Great News Radio. Until next time, remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your day.